Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I hope you're all healthy and safe. So I have another great program for you today. Spring, I know, is finally here. And for singles, it is the time to find love with that someone special. But given all that you are experiencing now, social distancing and sheltering at home, you might be wondering, how do you keep things interesting, fun, and maintain healthy dating practices? In other words, how do you find love in the time of COVID-19. My guest today is Claire A.H. Claire is a Toronto-based matchmaker and coach with over 10 years of experience in the fields of dating, relationships, and sexuality. As the owner of the Friend of a Friend matchmaking company, she helps singles expand their understanding of themselves, others, and modern dating so they can feel empowered to make meaningful connections. She also is a speaker, community manager, writer, and educator. And for more information about Claire or her matchmaking company, please go to friendofafriendmatchmaking.com. Welcome to the program, Claire. It's so great to have you with us today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And I should tell listeners, Claire, that we have met in person and I so much enjoy talking with you.
Likewise. And I've heard you speak a few times now and it's always a joy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Claire. I appreciate that. So tell listeners how you decided to become a matchmaker and what is the significance of your company being called Friend of a Friend Matchmaking?
Well, so I will try to keep this brief. I was actually a client of Friend Matchmaking a few years ago, many years ago now. So I'm not the original owner. And at our meeting, I cried a lot and I realized that I needed to do some work on myself before I was ready to meet someone. So I declined to meet anyone, did some therapy, let it kind of sink in, and then I met my husband. So I was working as a sex and sexuality educator with kind of a focus on couples. And then about 6 months after I met my husband, so a few years after my matchmaking meeting, I had 3 strokes caused by a vertebral artery dissection. They think it was because I did yoga. It was really hard, but my relationship with my husband was a bright spot, even when things were really hard. And so the company that I had visited as a client was hiring. This is Friend of a Friend Matchmaking. And I decided that I wanted to bring the love and also the self-awareness that I needed to get therapy to others. So it's been about 4 or 5 years now that I've been working with the company. And just a few months ago, I bought it because the previous owner, you know, she wrote a book, moved in with her partner and his kid, and she was just ready for trying something new. So I love continuing the legacy and taking it in new directions. As for the name, I kind of think of it twofold. In terms of the coaching, it's not like the advice that you'd get from a friend who has their own motivations and ideas of what you should go for, but maybe a friend of a friend, somebody with sage wisdom, the type of person you'd meet at a party. And then our tagline is meet someone you should probably already know. And a lot of this for the original owner, Sophie, was actually started by introducing people to friends or friends of friends.
Oh, I love that explanation, by the way, for why it's called Friend of a Friend Matchmaking. And thank you so much for sharing your story, Claire, with us. How long have you been with your husband now?
Now we've been together for about 5.5 years and married for almost 3, coming up on 3 years.
So nice. And you met in your own now matchmaking company when it wasn't yours. I love that story.
It worked out very nicely.
Yes. Now, I've talked to other matchmakers on this program, but for listeners who aren't totally knowledgeable or even convinced, Claire, that matchmaking is a very successful way to find love, What would you say to them, besides that you met your husband, right? What do you share with your clients, or what can you share with listeners about how it's a very successful way to meet, find love?
I find that for a lot of my clients, especially because I try to, whether even if they didn't buy a coaching package, imbue our meetings and our communication with a little bit of information that has a coaching attitude. It often helps people to get out of some of the assumptions that they have about dating or about others. Often I like to help people to not change their preferences drastically, but relax some of the more kind of stringent requirements out the gate and try to help people to see less so those preferences as being absolute and more looking at what those preferences indicate, maybe what they mean for people, and trying to find what that is. And then I think really having a person who isn't a friend or a family member to speak to often just helps people to get out of their own way, and letting someone take the reins a little bit can help them to find people who may be a little different than who they've been dating so far, but ultimately are a better fit and result in really happy relationships and marriages. And frankly, I see a lot of them work out, so I can, yes, I can point to specific success.
Right, exactly. And you're right. Having somebody else help you first identify what you want in a partner and how you might relax those qualities, but also introduce you to other people and even just discuss, what do you want or need in a partner? What are your relationship expectations? It's wonderful to have that other person help you along the way. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, Claire, as we all know, with social distancing, quarantines, the closing of public spaces, COVID-19 has definitely changed dating for singles right now. How do you think singles are reacting, or how they're feeling as you've been talking with them?
It's been interesting because I think I've seen a few different kind of iterations of behaviors and reactions. Initially, I think people thought, okay, well, this will all be over in 2 weeks. And so I'll just keep on keeping on. And kind of 2 weeks after, when people realized it would be a little bit longer, I saw a spike in need for coaching. And by coaching in this case, it was more so a place to vent, a place to ask questions, a place to be nervous and to take up the space that they needed to be concerned about dating, even though I think a lot of people were feeling like maybe it was trivial because there are obviously other things that are more immediate coming up. And then since about the 1 month mark, people have been returning to matchmaking and getting really on board with the idea of video dating. I think initially people were sometimes nervous about video dating or feeling like it wasn't quote unquote real dating. But as we've gotten to speak to our family members, our friends, our colleagues, you know, our trivia leagues over video chat, all of a sudden we're realizing that, yeah, you can still feel emotion. You can still feel connection and warmth from other people, even if it's not face to face. And frankly, dating is going to happen whether we can meet in person or not.
Right, absolutely. And you know, something that I always say to my clients and people, Claire, is that even though people were very concerned about their health at the beginning and are still very concerned about their health, physical health, we know relationships are so essential and vital to our physical health. So if we're feeling lonely, listeners, if you are feeling isolated, that is going to impact not only your immune system, but your sleep habits, your eating habits, everything you do physically. So being concerned with your relationships and with your dating patterns is also extremely important. And so I know you said that now you're seeing singles, Claire, do video dating, and knowing that they can have emotions, they can see people, they can, you know, experience relationships with video chatting. What are some creative or new strategies for singles now? Or what are you telling your clients about advice for a great video date?
Well, one of the things I'm really trying to hammer home is that a lot of the wisdom about quarantine dating is universal and actually pretty similar to standard dating advice. So just to let people know that a lot of their dating instincts are still valid, but this is just kind of a time to adapt. So when it comes to the basics of a video date, a lot of this really feels like a date in person. Give them your undivided attention. Put down your phone. Turn off, you know, close your Facebook window. Don't play a game in the background. Be clean. Try to look good. Obviously, we're not getting haircuts in quarantine, but you don't want to.
So
you don't want
true.
To. You don't want to completely show up in like the sweatiest, most stained, most holy t-shirt you own. Maybe something a little bit nicer. In general, especially now that we can't quite feel exactly what we'd feel in person in terms of like somebody's body language. Do your best to have good posture, to, you know, maintain eye contact with the camera, not with yourself, with the camera, because it's very obvious when someone's looking at themselves on the camera and it becomes distracting. Going down a little further, I like the idea of not just doing video dates, but also sending little messages in between. You know, even for some people, they've been sending deliveries, whether that's, you know, dinner if you're planning on a video date, or some people have sent flowers or chocolates or champagne. Obviously, you know, mind the frequency and look for context clues that these things are being appreciated and enjoyed. But it's something where you don't have to, the same way in person, 100% of your interactions with someone you're dating doesn't happen face to face. You send a little check-in message. You can still do things to kind of vary the way you communicate and engage. And then going down the list, a lot, asking a lot of questions, trying to remember things about them. So listening well, and then actually showing it with a callback. Whereas right now our flirtation can't be based on, you know, touching someone's arm or brushing their hair away. Sometimes compliments, especially if they are sincere, especially if they're kind of a little more unique, a little more in the moment than the standard, you're beautiful, you know, you're amazing, that can be really exciting. And then when it comes to having dates, there's so many articles about, you know, different things that you can do on video dates. They're everywhere. But the main thing is, you know, maybe the first date or the second date, you are just getting to know one another. And it's akin to if you were in, you know, a restaurant or a bar, you're just sitting there talking. But once you get past a certain point, plan dates, be intentional, look into a thing that they might enjoy, you know, do a workout together, do a cooking class together, just by, you know, getting all the things you need for a recipe and cooking it at the same time, order the same takeout, order each other takeout, and kind of give each other a fun surprise. It's a time to really get creative, because we can't just impress somebody by taking them to the restaurant where we know the owner or the bar with the best cocktails. We have to inject our personality in other ways.
And we also have to be, like you said, more intentional. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a little bit more planning and awareness when we do those video dates, as you're talking about. Well, I think that's great advice, Claire. And I just want to repeat and recap what you said a little bit, because it's so important, especially the notion that a lot of what you're talking about, Claire, is dating practices, strategies, and tips for all times, not just this time. And so adapting is so very important, and to be aware of your body language and dressing up and cleaning up and taking away all those other distractions, like a phone. I had a client the other day, Claire, who said that he did a video date, and his date, she was on her phone at the same time, all the time. And he could see that she was looking down and texting at the same time as talking to him. And it really did turn him off, because it says, you're not important to me at this moment.
Exactly.
My text or my phone is. So very important. And messaging in between and doing deliveries, asking questions, and then all of those great planning date ideas, you know, a cooking class, an exercise class, you know, Netflix game, watching a movie together, right? All of those are so very important. Even I was telling a client the other day, Claire, that all of these wineries in Napa are having wine appreciation or wine education courses online, video, where you see the winemaker and you're drinking a glass of wine and the winemaker is telling you about the wine. And you could do that as well.
Absolutely.
Where we could do that without traveling, right?
It really brings up so much. And I mean, even if you look up concerts, museums, art galleries, less so sports these days, although there is The Last Dance, which just came out on Netflix, which reviews the 1998 Chicago Bulls season. Yeah. There are things for everyone, and it's really exciting.
Even Disney has virtual rides that you can go on. How fun.
Yeah.
You know, so you're right. You can do so many different kinds of activities with this person that we wouldn't have been able to do so much, or we would have had to travel. Now, it also seems, Claire, like courtship is back and people now are what you would say wooing each other. So how do you encourage your clients to get to know one another, to woo one another, or even to take time to get to know one another during this time?
Well, so a lot of what I said before stands, but I think whenever I think about wooing, I go back to my most kind of adolescent in a good way self, thinking of myself in high school, and what I would do to get someone interested in me was that I had really good taste in music and I could make an amazing mix CD. So now I'm seeing people doing this more with Spotify, but being able to create a playlist for someone, maybe collaboratively, and to talk through it, to add things that are significant. When you're watching a favorite movie or a TV show together, like, talk a little bit about why that's important to you, because it shows that you want to share yourself with them. And that could be book recommendations. It could be, as we said, like a workout, cooking together. But it's about connecting who you are to something you want to share with them. Even talking about your favorite places or experiences, it's kind of like an imagined tour. Like I lived in Montreal for many years, and early in getting to know my husband, I would talk to him about my favorite places there because he wasn't as familiar with it. And it was kind of like a trip that we took together before we were at that point. And it was very exciting. It's important for all these things to be reciprocal, though, to give people lots of space and time to then talk about what they want, so you don't just steamroll. Mm-hmm. Another thing is Arthur Aaron's 36 questions, which were popularized in the New York Times.
Those are great questions.
They are.
And they build intimacy. Scientific ways to build intimacy. I love that you mentioned that, Claire.
Yeah,
those are my favorite.
I love them. And my husband is not the type of person to do those. So it took, I was taking a class and they told us, okay, you have to do it. It took that for him to get into it. But even though at that point we had been together for maybe three or more years, we learn things about each other. And obviously the key is to not assume that it's necessarily going to make you fall in love, as the New York Times title suggests. Right. And not that you want to build too much intimacy too quickly, but look at them independently. Pick some that are important to you or try them all out. Just go in without too many expectations, because you don't want to push into intense territory. And I think that's the thing to be careful about, is we don't want to bond based on secrets and past traumas. Not that we need to completely avoid the topics, but they should not be necessarily used as a get to know you strategy too much, because it creates a connection that maybe doesn't hold up in other respects. We would rather kind of focus on something holistically as we get to know each other. And yeah, it's a tightrope to walk.
right. And I think, you know, you make it some very good points, Claire. First of all, that you could ask questions in these 36 questions by Art Aaron and build intimacy, and perhaps wait a little period of time where you are sharing more breadth rather than depth of information that's mm-hmm. coming from you personally. So waiting, listeners, is wonderful, but you could do it through that way. And I love that you said the 36 questions. But another way that you recommended, which is wonderful, is to share experiences together, like Disney virtual rides, and then say why that ride was good or not good, mm-hmm. or last time you went to Disney, or when you were talking to your husband and getting to know your husband about Montreal. You share a little bit through the experience, and that builds, but it doesn't build intense intimacy too quickly. And so both of those are wonderful ways. And when sometimes people aren't as comfortable with asking questions, they can do the sharing of activities, and that can allow you to get to know that other person. So I like those two kinds of ways or manners, strategies, as well as the advice that Claire said, listeners, not to build intimacy too quick, too soon. Now, I have another question, Claire, and this comes from several of my clients who are single. You know, they've been doing the virtual dating. They're talking to this person. They're going back and forth. But, you know, how long do they wait? Or given the uncertainty, they don't know when they're going to meet face to face. What do you do? Just continue to video date? Get frustrated? I mean, what do you do? And what are you seeing with singles?
Well, I think this is a good exercise in restraint, a good exercise in patience. And also, this is something we're doing in all other manners. Like, it's sad that you can't go to your friend's birthday party. It's sad that you can't go. Maybe a family wedding is canceled. There are all sorts of things that are frustrating about the ways in which we socialize right now. And there's also no way around them. So we just kind of have to build a little tolerance to that distress. We ultimately wait as long as we can, or until we can safely meet face to face. When it comes to waiting for a sign that this is a forever love, I think you just continue as long as it feels right. And be aware, though, of the roles of boredom, loneliness, and fear in all of this, because I think people are inclined to sometimes make decisions or definitive statements based on it feeling good to say out loud, you know, I love you, or say, this is my significant other, before maybe in a face-to-face, as a dating experience we're more familiar with, we would naturally do. And it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that these feelings are not valid, but it's a good idea to really take some time to think about these things. And part of the way I really instruct people to do that is, if you start, you know, I love if I've matched people and they're really getting along and they've gone on, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 video dates and they've started, you know, talking on the phone every day, that's great. But I do encourage people to not make the person their whole world, and to connect with family and friends. And frankly, that is another piece of advice that is universal. Even if you were face to face, if you eat, sleep, and drink that person, then you may not be connecting with other people, having time to sit with your thoughts, having time to maybe reflect with someone else, and you're just stuck in that world. And I think the fact that so many of us are also feeling more literally trapped in four walls, that feeling of, you know, we're everything to each other, accelerates intimacy in a way that can be challenging and makes it harder for us to have a good gut check and really understand how we're feeling.
Right. And especially when we make someone else our total worlds 24/7, it's hard then to make decisions that might be realistic decisions. And so to note that, to identify that, and to be aware of that, I like that. That's a key piece of information, Claire. Thank you. Now, we only have about 2 minutes left. If there's one message that you'd like listeners to take away from this program, what might that be, very briefly?
Well, I think I mentioned it a little bit at the top, but I encourage people to reflect a little bit on some of their preferences and requirements that have been more surface level or based on assumptions, like, you know, what part of town they live in, what kind of job they have, their height, something like that. And seeing if they could use this time to relax that a little bit. It doesn't mean, you know, you should never look for people who, you know, don't share their values, don't share, and would have really incompatible lifestyles, but looking for people maybe a little outside of their ordinary, they could be pleasantly surprised. And right now is a time where, you know, the buy-in is small. Put on some clothes, run a comb through your hair, get on a video chat. They might be really, really happy with what happens.
I like that. So, you know, now is the time to be more open-minded, is what you're saying. I like that. And it doesn't mean that you're settling for less, or that you're taking incompatibility, or that someone has different values and it won't work out. It's that just be a little bit more open-minded, relax your preferences. Well, exactly. Thank you so much for joining us, Claire. I love talking to you.
This was such a great time. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Claire A.H. or her Friend of a Friend matchmaking company, please go to friendofafriendmatchmaking.com. Com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.